There's a habit a lot of us picked up when we were kids, especially those of us who grew up with abuse and neglect. And it's a pattern of behavior where when something makes no sense and you feel confused by it, you pretend it's perfectly clear. Hey, it's Anna here, just taking a little pause to talk about getting help when you're having a rough time. There are a lot of things you can try, and one of them is online therapy through BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible, and those are very good things, because finding a therapist can be really hard. BetterHelp makes it easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist who meets your criteria. And when you click the special link that I'm going to give you, it not only helps this podcast, but it gets you 10% off your first month of therapy. So you can connect with a therapist, see what happens, and if anything feels like it's not a fit, which is common in therapy, you can easily switch to a new therapist at no additional cost. No stress about insurance or who's in your network or anything like that. So if you're struggling and you need to talk to a human, try BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/CCF. CCF stands for Crappy Childhood Fairy. That's BetterHelp.com/CCF. There's also a link in the episode description if you need it. That might be easier. Thanks for sponsoring us, BetterHelp. Now, back to the show. And it's understandable why anyone who's living in fear would do that. It's so people won't get mad at you, so they won't leave you, so that you don't have to feel foolish for misreading someone's intentions. But confusion is one of those side effects of early trauma that feeds on itself and ends up winding its way into your whole way of thinking and being. And this can go on so long, you can't remember anymore how you really feel versus what you pretend you feel. And you get so used to feeling off balance and having to guess what people around you are feeling that you lose your ordinary powers of perception to read reality accurately. Now, you might be in a relationship that you thought was serious, but then you found out the other person thinks of you as a casual thing, for example. So you force yourself to be okay with it, right? You're like, I'm fine, I'm cool. Or you might feel happy that you're having coffee with a new friend, but then you gradually realize the friend is actually trying to sell you something. Maybe that was what the whole thing was about. Have you had that happen? It's weird. So you pretend that you were interested in the sales pitch, or maybe you even buy something from them to avoid an awkward moment of saying something like, hey, you're pitching me on something. Is that what this whole coffee date was about? I thought we were making friends. So we suppress those thoughts. We lack the inner power to know how to say it. Or you might have this lack of clarity in a work situation. And let's say you were promised a raise by some certain date and nothing happens and nothing is said about it. And you pretend that this was never discussed or promised. You go along with that and stay silent. Or worse, you become self-critical for understanding the original promise wrong. Or you imagine that you must have done something wrong to change the boss's mind. Should you say anything? And then you decide not to say anything, and you stay for years and years in grudging silence that now becomes like this vague cloud of shame that's all around everything in your life. These are the kinds of dilemmas that rise up in your life when you're not confident in your own discernment, when you have no clarity. And I'm going to talk about how that plays out and what to look for, and then I'm going to tell you what to do about it. So when you were a kid and you got mistreated, one of your coping mechanisms might have been to just go into a fog of denial. And let's say you witnessed a violent argument or a terrible fight in the house where you grew up, and everyone pretended it didn't happen. So you pretended too. Now, this fog of denial may have helped you tolerate the horrible implications of what you actually saw. And it helped you to carry on with your little kid life, having friends, going to school, acting normal. And your skill in blocking out what happened was incredibly valuable, because chances are, if there was violence one time, there was probably violence a lot of times, right? And you couldn't afford to really let in the reality of that into your mind. But now you're an adult, and the fog of denial is still one of your reactions to stressful experiences, let's say. And if you're still responding to mistreatment and instability and anxiety or a sense of danger by blanking out and pretending it's not happening, you've missed a lifetime of experience to learn how to speak up for yourself, to detect danger and act in your own self-defense, or to say something about things that hurt you, to learn to set boundaries and ask questions. Hands down, this behavior that passes as being nice or easygoing is not nice, and it's not easy at all. And being foggy is a vulnerable state where your childhood PTSD behaviors can start to kick into high gear. Clinging, obsessing, people-pleasing, crap-fitting, which is my word for when you fit yourself to crappy situations and people. And all of this is made possible because every time you think of leaving, it's like a switch flips in your mind and you lose your will to do it. You lose your discernment about what actions would be best. You stay paralyzed in a fog, probably blaming yourself. And really, it's okay that you developed this survival strategy. It helped you to get through painful experiences with your spirit intact. So good job. That's how traumatized kids survive. But now, as an adult, if you still don't have a clear awareness of who you are, what you want, what it's fair to expect of other people, and whether they should even be in your life, you are on a path toward pain and emptiness. Without clarity, your life fills up with things that you never wanted, and it's time to heal from the past and to find your way forward to happiness, to love, to fulfillment. So I'm going to tell you what you can do to dissolve that fog and develop in its place clarity and discernment. So think for a minute about times in the past when you were not clear, and one sign that you're not clear would be when you get broadsided by reality. So let's say you find out someone you're dating is lying to you about who they are and how they spend their time. And once you find out, you're like, oh, I knew it. I knew it. I thought something sounded wrong, but I ignored the red flag. That's you having good information, but not being clear. You didn't trust your judgment, so you went into that nice cozy fog where you could have a little more time in that relationship, the one that you hoped it would be, till it was right in your face that it wasn't going to work, it wasn't what you hoped, and you couldn't go on with it any longer. And then not only do you find out that the red flags you saw and that you ignored were actually real, you realize that this was probably obvious to everyone else in your life. And they were probably telling you, hey, this person who you're crazy about, they seem kind of off to me. And what a person in a fog of denial is likely to do when somebody says stuff like that is not break up with the boyfriend or girlfriend. It's to block out the friends who saw the reality and tried to help. And that's what further isolates you. And isolation is the perfect place for denial to spread and take over your life. So that's how so many people with trauma find themselves stuck in intolerable situations. And the good news is, no matter how long this has gone on, you can change. It's noble work to try to face your own problems. It's not always easy to do, and it feels sometimes like the shame is going to kill you, like the loneliness is just too much, and you need to go back. You need to go back to the old situation, and your mind will say that. You'll be tempted to run from yourself and hide from the reality and blame the people who believe that you're doing something harmful to yourself because they want something better for you. But what you'll hear is the criticism, and that is the trauma brain thinking. Your trauma brain believes that if you see your own flaws, it'll break you. And that's a normal perception for a person with a history of abuse and neglect. You rightly became terrified of criticism when you were a kid. We all know people who simply cannot take responsibility for their mistakes, but there's a loving way to view whatever it is that you chose or did or failed to do. It was never your fault that you ended up with childhood PTSD. It's not your fault. You were abused. And it's normal for traumatized people to struggle in just this way. And now you get to have agency, which means you get to begin your healing. So where do you start? Maybe you have trouble recognizing danger or feeling love or knowing when you've worn out your welcome and it's time to get up from your friend's table and say goodnight. And when you begin gently to come back to your life and take stock of it, you'll begin to learn ways to handle those situations. Your awareness will wake up, or you might have a tendency now to, you know, block out painful truth with something that you think explains it away. Like maybe someone you've been dating says they feel like the relationship needs to end, but instead of feeling the pain of rejection, you get busy researching mental health conditions that could explain why they want to leave, and you start pushing books on them and trying to get them to go to therapy, right? So people with CPTSD often go that route, going into helper mode when their security feels threatened. And that instinct to stay unclear and to try to get control over reality while staying unclear is a survival strategy. It started when you were small. You learned to play along with mistreatment or the shady behavior of the grown-ups in your life from a very early age. You instinctively knew if you spoke up, you'd be hurt. And you knew that if you told anyone what was really going on, they would ostracize you, or there was even a risk they'd take you away from your family. So for a child, that's an existential threat. That's why denial has such a tight grip. It holds on. It takes strength and courage to overcome that and to come out of that fog and to face all the years that you've suffered, all the opportunities you lost because you couldn't see very clearly what was really going on. The longer you put off facing what's real, the more your precious time on earth is just kind of dribbling away from you, not being in reality. Reality is where you can be happy, where you can create things, where you can love and be loved. And when you don't become who you really are in this way, we all are deprived of the gifts that you were meant to bring to the world. Everyone is ready and waiting for the good, real person you are to heal and come forward and take your place in the world. So here's where you can begin. You can begin with the relationships in your life right now. The job is to learn which people are good for you to associate with and which ones have red flags flying all around them, and to list and understand the times in your life where you made choices, either positive or destructive, that got you where you are right now. Now, I know from my own healing process how hard it feels like it will be to look at yourself honestly in those moments where you realize that you somehow played a role in the problems that you previously thought were just, you know, being done to you. Like, we play a role sometimes, and the temptation is to slip back into the fog and not look at that. But everything depends on being here in clarity. Clarity feels good. It feels clean. It feels peaceful. And a lot of stress falls away, even when the truth that you're facing is that you need to leave a relationship or two, or you need to change. So some of what you'll face is how you were mistreated, but you'll also see how sometimes you played a role in this by convincing yourself, oh, well, it's probably just me. It's my fault, so I'll stick around. And you know what? Sometimes maybe it was you. Sometimes that is right. Sometimes we're unreasonable. Sometimes we're the ones who are neglectful or hurtful or even abusive. And the thing is, not being clear what your role is going to hurt you, whether you face it or not. But when you face it, you can heal it. And when the denial is gone, what's left is this wonderful power of discernment. Discernment means good judgment. It means being able to tell good from bad and right from wrong. When is it just me? And when should I get the heck away from someone? And there are two skills that will accelerate your powers of discernment. And they are very simple, but probably rusty if you've been living in a fog. One is the skill is to tell the truth. You've got to be honest with yourself and with other people. And the second thing is to ask questions. When you're confused by something another person says or does, you can, wait for it, ask for clarification. So for example, have you ever been invited to a restaurant, but you were nervous the whole time because you didn't know if it was a date, or you didn't know if the other person who invited you meant to pay for you or not? Or were you flirting with somebody who you knew was unavailable? You knew it, and you knew it was inappropriate, but you were afraid if you said something, it would ruin the moment. Has this kind of ambiguous situation shown up for you over and over in your life? Here's what you can do. You can just say out loud what's going on. You can say, you know what, this is weird. It feels like things are getting a bit flirty here. Or you can ask, hey, when you invited me out, were you planning to treat or should I plan to pay for myself? Or you can say, I'd love to go to dinner, but before I say yes, I hope you won't mind my asking, is this a date? it's not so bad to ask questions and tell the truth, is it? It feels so embarrassing to ask those questions in the moment or state the obvious, but you know what's so great about it? There's no more confusion. So whatever the situation is can be made clear to you and you can proceed accordingly. How many times did you hide your feelings, not ask the question, or put up with crappy treatment and assume it was just you? And I just want you to think about this. If you were ever in a relationship where things turned out not to be what you thought, would it have changed things if you blurted out the truth of what you were noticing or wondering when you first noticed it? Yes, saying the truth really kills the romance sometimes, and that's what you want. If the truth ruins everything, something was already seriously not right. Speaking up early is also how you can clear up limerent or one-sided relationships where you're pining away for someone who's very happy to keep things ambiguous and enjoy that adoring energy from you without ever being clear about the relationship. Now, it's embarrassing to get rejected, but so much better to have it happen early and get it over with than to build your life around some unavailable person who just basks in that warm sunshine of your devotion year after year. And this is what I mean when I say you have to be honest. Now, if you're going to heal your perception and take on this project of courageous honesty, it helps to have at least one person to whom you can pour out your heart and who you can trust to be both kind and real with you about what they see from the outside and supportive of you taking steps toward doing things in a better way. And this isn't always something you can get from friends because they're either too hard on you or too easy on you. And either way, it's not helpful. And it's not uncommon for traumatized people to have no friends that they could ask for this kind of support. So healing goes faster when you're willing and able to create a support system of friends. If that's been difficult for you, maybe a 12-step group where other people are changing their lives in similar ways that you are. You could take online courses or get coaching. You could come into my membership program for these things. Find what resonates for you and then give it a try. And if one thing doesn't work, try another thing. Be persistent because healing is amazing. Thank you so much for listening. If you love my content, think about joining my membership program. You can find out more information about that and all my courses and coaching programs in the episode description below or on my website, crappychildhoodfairy.com. If you're going through a hard time and you need online therapy, I encourage you to check out BetterHelp. They're easy and affordable, and they can connect you with someone you choose within a few days. And if you use this special URL, you not only help this channel, but you get 10% off your first month of therapy. So go to betterhelp.com/CCF, as in Crappy Childhood Fairy. That's betterhelp.com/CCF. And remember, healing is possible. People with childhood PTSD can have a wonderful life. Sometimes we just need a few workarounds. I'll see you next time.